Okay. I want to call the Spring 2006 Convention Board of Directors meeting to order. So, here we go. Have a good crowd out there. Pleased to see that. We'll try to keep this lively for you. Short and lively. Okay. Agenda item. Reading the agenda is actually first. Actually, it's not first. It's third. Roll. So roll call is first. So Rhonda, will you call the roll?
I knew I got some. Real note.
Okay. President Jeff Tom.
Here.
First Vice President Mitch Pomerantz.
Here.
Second Vice President.
Jean Lozano.
I think it's Jean Lozano.
Yes.
Secretary Rhonda King. I'm here barely. And Treasurer Peter Pardini.
Here.
Immediate Past President Catherine Skivers.
Here.
Okay, board members.
This is your chair.
Are Al Beigler.
Here.
And Richard Ruetta.
Mississippi.
Oh.
Mississippi?
Right,
yeah.
Oh, RRCC.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
He and Gabe Griffith
Gabe
are not
Griffiths
here.
Is absent.
Oregon? Washington.
Washington.
Okay. And then we have Jane Cardis.
Here.
Barbara Rhodes.
Here.
Louis Preston.
Here.
Ann Kaiser.
Here.
Jerry Arakawa.
Here.
Who was the
did I miss anybody?
Barbara Rhodes.
Artis Bazin. Is she here?
Yes.
Okay. And I think that's it. So all we're missing then is Gabe Griffith and
Richard Ruetta.
And just okay. To announce, Gabe will not be at the convention. He was here for a brief time today, but he is going to the funeral of his grandfather in Washington. So he wishes he were here and extends his best to all of us. So, okay, two introductions and announcements. I don't have any introductions at the moment. Announcements. Do we have any announcements?
I have some.
Okay.
I'd like to encourage people to let me run through the meals that we have available. Library Users of California, we have 5 tickets available. 1 ticket to the education breakfast, 6 president's dinners, 3 for the OCB luncheon, 2 for the vendors luncheon, and 6 tickets to the guide dog users luncheon. So please stop by the CCB registration desk and purchase these tickets.
Okay, I will tell you with respect to that the it's a new policy this year of the hotel to take counts ahead of time. So on Monday, so we had to guesstimate because every ticket that we decide to sell, we have to pay for. So we had to come up with estimates ahead of time, and I had to basically decide what might be the closest approximation to what we would be able to sell because it's a money issue. So we did our best, and I hope that we didn't underestimate.
And I. Because I know the guide dog, I increased that luncheon a little bit, Jeff. Because I know the guide dog users,
great,
is a little. They can be a little. We'll kind of wait till the last minute, but I would encourage all people who are interested in lunches to please stop by as soon as the registration desk as soon as possible. And unfortunately, we're sold out of banquet tickets.
Okay, Mitch.
Yes. Let me borrow your mic. Thank you, Jeff. I will make this announcement three times throughout the convention. As many of you know, the American Council of the Blind has put together a program called Monthly Monetary Support, where you can have deducted from either your checking account or off of a credit card a set amount of money to go to the organization. Well, that's how it was originally. The board of directors at our fall board meeting voted to revise that program so that you may choose to donate up to 50% of your regular monthly contribution to a state or special interest affiliate of your choice. So that means that if you want to make a contribution to ACB, you may also do so to CCB. And we can handle monthly withdrawals of as little as $5 per month. I have, not with me now, but I have them upstairs, and we'll have them around this weekend, the two forms. One form if you want to make the withdrawal from your checking account, and the other form if you want to make the withdrawal from your MasterCard. Donna will be with me. She will assist in filling out those forms. Everything will be confidential. They will be mailed immediately to Don Gardner, who is our new chief financial officer, actually controller is the title we're using for Don, for ACB. We'll mail them to the Minneapolis office. You know that ACB is going through some tough times. CCB is a little better off, but you'll see later we have a negative budget this year, unfortunately. So I strongly encourage you to think seriously about and make your decision to participate in the MMS program. And I will talk about this a couple of times throughout the convention. Also, President Chris Gray is here, probably be here tomorrow, and I'll give Chris some of those forms. So please see either Chris or myself, and you know, think about helping the two organizations that do so much for all of us. Thanks.
Are there any board members have any announcements before I recognize, I think, Wynn? Oh, yes.
If you're making a contribution now, Wynn, and you wish to change it in any way, hopefully upward, yes, you will take a form. You need to complete a new form, yes. Yes. Who seeks the floor?
Audrey.
MMS. I thought I'd said it at the beginning, Audrey, but it's monthly monetary support. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, do we have any other announcements? Okay, hearing none, it has finally come down to item 3, reading of the agenda. So now I have to find my place here and read the agenda. Okay. Approval of minutes, February 13th, 2006. Treasurer's report. The next item is 2006 proposed budget. Item 7 is fundraising. Under that, we have fundraising committee update and grant development. excuse me. 8 is student stipend for ACB convention. 9 is fall 2006 subsidy. That should be fall convention subsidy. 10 is spring 2007 convention bids. 11 is respectability coalition membership. 12 is publications update. 13 is vehicle donation program. 14, report on Newell Perry Trust Fund. 15 is Ellen Murphy Fund. And 16 is public comment. I have a couple of things. First, the executive session that we mentioned at the end, unless someone has a crucial item, I am withdrawing the executive session for now anyway. It may occur at a future board meeting, but I do want to add a brief item on one of our membership for one of our chapters. So, and Mitch, are you going to withdraw?
Yes.
Item 11 is being withdrawn on the Respectability Coalition. That item is also being delayed until a future board meeting.
They did not send me what I asked for, so there's no reason to discuss it. Yes.
Yes.
So, yes, we'll defer that.
Okay, are there any other additions to the agenda?
Mr. President?
Gene.
I'd like to put an item about
strategic planning.
Strategic planning. Oh, I've been there, done that.
You do.
Okay, that, we'll add that item. Hope we're not going to do the strategic plan tonight, though. Okay, any other additions? Okay, hearing none, we will go on to item number four. Rhonda, you have the minutes for February 13th?
Yes, I do.
You're reading them?
All right. Yeah, I think we will read them, because we haven't read them yet.
Okay, I've asked Mitch if he'd read them for me, because he reads much faster than I do.
Not a problem.
Thank you, Mitch.
Let's get the mic. Thank goodness. Okay. CCB Board Minutes, February 13, 2006, teleconference call. Number one, the meeting was called to order at 7:38 p.m. by President Jeff Tom. Two, Rhonda King, Secretary, called the roll. Al Biegler and Lewis Preston were not present. Three, Jeff welcomed Ann Kaiser to her first board meeting, and then he read the agenda and asked for additional items. Four, Rhonda read the minutes from the November 28, 2005 teleconference board meeting. One correction was noted. Board motion 0106, it actually should be 0601, but Rhonda was doing it the British way. Kathy Skivers made a motion to approve the minutes as read and corrected. The motion was seconded and passed. Mitch Pomerantz and Gabe Griffith abstained as they were both absent from the particular meeting. Five, Peter reported that the deficit for 2005 was $71,510. He also reported that the finances to date for 2006 were reflected as follows. Revenue, $63,090. Expenses, $26,674. A difference, positively, I insert, of $36,415. Six, Jeff gave an update on the grant writing project being conducted by Pat Borison. Several grants have been sent out, but only one rejected so far. More scheduled for spring. The board discussed extending another 40 hours for this project, but if funds are not realized, the project will not be renewed. Pat has done an outstanding job and has learned much about this organization. It will be worth the investment. Board motion 0206. Kathy moved to expend $2,800 for the additional hours, and Jane seconded the motion. After lengthy discussion, the motion passed. Copies of what Pat is doing will be sent to the board, and she will submit a report before April. Seven, the computer being used by Dan Kaiser, CCB Governmental Affairs Director, needs to be repaired or replaced. It was decided that the repair will cost nearly as much as a new one, but a new one would provide much more usable memory and programs. Board motion 0306 gave move to allocate up to $2,000 for a new computer, and Kathy seconded the motion and recused herself from voting to avoid conflict of interest. Eight, Jeff reported that a new chapter and affiliate is asking to be chartered at the spring convention. The Central Coast Low Vision Council in San Luis Obispo has submitted their constitution and membership dues. They have a membership of 16 members. Board motion 0406. Mitch made a motion to approve the new chapter for membership to CCB. Friendly amendment, a credentials form should be received by them prior to the convention so they can be seated. And seconded the motion, and it passed. Board motion 0506. Peter made a motion that $500 be awarded to the new chapter at convention. The motion was seconded and passed. CCB received dues and minutes approving the Constitution from the Randolph Shepherd Vendors of California, RSVC, but did not receive the Constitution itself. The affiliate has 20 members. Board Motion 0606. Artist made the motion that this affiliate be approved for membership to CCB. Friendly amendment, that $500 is awarded to the new affiliate at convention. Gave second to the motion and it passed. Board Motion 0706, Mitch moved to accept the affiliate provision, provisionally, with receipt of their constitution, meet the 30 days, that should be met, but okay, the 30-day requirement prior to convention. Thus, if seated, they will receive the money. The motion was seconded and passed. 9, Rhonda reported on the fundraising teleconference call held on January 26th. The following topics were discussed. A, scholarship sweepstakes tickets. Tickets were mailed to all chapters and affiliates in January. $10,000 can be realized if all tickets sell, with $2,000 being awarded to winners. The drawing will be held at the spring convention. B, CCB jackets. The committee wants to sell fleece-lined windbreaker-type jackets bearing the CCB logo and motto on the breast. Jackets will sell for $30 to $40. Board Motion 0806. Mitch moved for the purchase of 50 jackets to be sold at the fall convention. Gabe seconded the motion and it passed. It was suggested that an announcement be placed on the California Connection to see how many people would be interested in purchasing a jacket. C, airline tickets. A letter was sent to Southwest Airlines requesting 2 round-trip tickets to be used for the fall sweepstakes raffle. Peter is also checking on getting another cruise for this event. Other airlines will also be contacted for tickets. D, statewide fundraising events. The committee will try to get chapters and affiliates to hold an annual event which will be earmarked specifically for the state organization. 10, Kathy indicated the fall convention report in the Blind Californian was a bit sketchy and thought it should contain more information, especially about speakers at general session. 11, Kathy reported on the Durward McDaniel First Timers fundraiser for ACB. The committee is requesting that all affiliates make contributions instead of selling tickets this year. Board Motion 0906, Kathy made the motion that CCB contribute $500 to the Durward McDaniel fund. Artists seconded the motion and it passed. 12, Mitch suggested that Rhonda send a list of the funds to be allocated to Peter so they would be available for the Budget and Finance Committee meeting to be held in Hayward on February 25th. 13, Mitch brought up the initiative that is to be circulated for signatures within 2 weeks. The initiative will require individuals to give notification to commercial owners of alleged ADA violations prior to filing suit. Dan Kaiser is the liaison to the steering committee working on this issue. This initiative will have a negative impact on our rights. The CCB Governmental Affairs Committee voted to oppose this initiative at their last teleconference meeting. 14, Mitch suggested that disseminating information of the ACB video, CCB, excuse me, I was still stumbling over that disseminating part, that disseminating information of the CCB video be discussed at the spring convention board meeting. the title motto has been changed, and Ed is currently having descriptive and non-descriptive copies made. Mitch said the video is the factoring tool for the Speaker's Bureau. DVD copies are also being made. 15, Arta spoke about the voting bill and the recommendations the task force has made to the Secretary of State. 3 voting systems to be certified will be viewed on February 17th. The all-mail ballots are being considered by some counties, but this is contradictory to HAVA, Help Americans Vote Act, which mandates accessible voting machines. Board Motion 1006. Gene moved to adjourn the meeting. Kathy seconded the motion, and it passed. Respectfully submitted by Rhonda King, Secretary.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any amendments, corrections, additions, deletions,
whatever? I have something. First of all, I want to say I think, Rhonda, that was a long, long meeting and lots of conversation. I think you did very, very well. That's a tough job. I want to tell you, though, that Durward McDaniel is spelled.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, Kathy, let's get you on a mic so we can...
Thank you. Okay, I was saying that Rhonda did a great job, which is a difficult job, but Durward McDaniel is spelled, or Durward, D-U-R-W-A-R-D. So many people call him Durwood, but it isn't. It's D-U-R-W-A-R-D. Also, I don't think it appeared in these minutes, but it appears here and there and everywhere with us. Newell Perry is N-E-W-E-L. There are not
correct.
Two L's in Newell.
Correct.
So that's, you know, that's something we do a lot of. But
that's
anyway, those are the only two things I have that I wanted to bring to the attention of the Secretary.
Mr. President.
Yes.
Since we're going to share that, Jeffrey. Since the minutes are the official record of the organization, and I've already told Rhonda, under number 4, Rhonda read the minutes from the November 28, 2005 teleconference board meeting. One correction was noted. That correction needs to be stipulated in the minutes, and Rhonda believes that was the changing of the spelling of our grant writer's name. It's Borison, B-O-R-R-I-S-O-N, not Morrison, M-O-R-R-I-S-O-N, and that does need to be reflected.
Twanar, yes.
Oh, Twanar. Well, I'm corrected then, too. So it's B-O-R-I-S-O-N.
Okay, any other corrections? Hearing none, do we have a motion to accept the minutes?
So moved. Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Who seconded?
Gene.
Opposed? Abstentions. The minutes are approved. Before we go on to the Treasurer's Report and other things, I just want to say as a follow-up, since we don't really have an agenda item, that all the procedures were met with respect to our two new chapters. They should be here, both Central Coast Low Vision Council and Randolph Shepherd Vendors. So let's have the first of, I think, several hands during the convention for those chapters. Okay. Treasurer's report.
I have a question, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I don't know if this is a time, I think.
I'm wondering, I think we said that we would be having an update from Pat Borison in here. Are we going to have that?
It's on the agenda.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, she'll be here, though, tomorrow, probably. Okay. Treasurer's report. Peter Pardini.
Thank you very much, Jeff. To begin with, I'm just going to briefly review our revenue and expenses for 2005 for the period January 1st to December 31st, 2005. We had total revenue of $331,603. Expenses for the period of $440,000.
$253. Revenue less expenses, a negative $108,650. We had other revenues in the amount of $43,572. We had other expenses in the amount of $285, excuse me. Sorry about that. Yeah. Total revenue and expenses for the period a negative $65,363.
Okay, thank you, Peter. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Then I thought I'll review our revenues and expenses for the period January 1st to March 31st, 2006. We had total revenue of $121,375. Total expenses, $103,523. Revenue less expenses, $17,852. Other revenue, $16,994. Other expenses, $60. Total all revenue less expenses, $34,786. And I'll go ahead and summarize our balance sheet as of March 31st, 2006. We have total assets, $1,635,609. We had liabilities in the amount of $4,866. Net assets of $1,630,743. Total liabilities and net assets, $635,609. And this concludes the treasurer's report.
I move the treasury report be accepted as read and submitted to audit.
Okay, there is a motion. Actually, Kathy, could I, before you make that motion, Peter, can we have the ongoing saga briefly of the 2003 audit? Bring us up to date on that.
Yeah, basically, I got a phone call from Alex Wong and Associates. I was hoping to receive our audit by this board meeting, but I haven't. I should be receiving it within the next 2 days. So I'm really hoping to be able to present a summary of it on Sunday, because he's going to email it to me.
I thought he was these auditors. There's a whole bunch of cast of characters that have gone in and out of the office, and I think they were about to drive Ed to the loony bin with their with their goings and comings and machinations. But I guess all's well that ends well.
Yeah,
I suppose. So.
No, he wants to get it completed, and I've expressed, you know,
Mr. Chairman,
our concern.
Mr. Chairman, I don't recall offhand. Do we have these same people for the other audits that we're having done?
I think we have. I would recommend. And with our next audit, we're going to specify some strict timelines. I don't really want to put another auditor team on board because it'll. I mean, once we get these people trained, it'll be.
It's cheaper.
Cheaper, you know. And it'll be timely, believe me.
I don't know how much money you save when you have somebody that takes this length of time to do something. They're supposed to be qualified auditors, and I'm sure they are. But I can't see any reason for this kind of a delay in what they're doing. And I would suggest that if we want to go with them and see if they can improve. But I think it should be made very clear that if we have this sort of delay again, we'll need to think about moving on. It's not such a big deal to get new auditors. You're not supposed to train the auditors. They're supposed to be trained and come in and read our books and do it. We've had audits done for years, and they can do better than this, and they should.
Yeah, Kathy is absolutely right. The issue is not... the issue on the one side is money, and clearly, you know, they haven't cost us more money because they keep coming, but they do cost us personnel hours. They create mayhem in the office. These guys have more than any other auditors, and I guess if, you know, I'm willing to go with the treasurer one more time on balance, given that I think you should, you know, be able to make the call. But I have to say, I'm with Kathy that things cannot go on as they have been. It's not fair to staff, and it's not fair to the organization.
I 100% agree with you completely, Jeff.
And the Attorney General doesn't like it either, and he's coming to visit us very soon, so we want to be good.
Okay. All right. Now, Kathy made a motion for the treasurer's report to be accepted. Is there a second?
Second.
Oh, I don't know. There's many.
Got to know.
Jane? Or
you can give it to Jane.
And referred to audit, Mr. President.
And referred to audit. Okay. That's part of the motion. Okay. All those in favor? Well, any questions? Any discussion or questions? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Great report. Thank you very, very much. And I'm pleased to see that we're in as good a shape so far this year as we are. And by the way, not included in that treasurer's report was an April check for over $12,000 from the vehicle donation program. So that's indeed some good news. So, as compared to the 4,000 something in the previous month. So, yeah, in perspective, but nonetheless. Okay. We'll now go to item 6, which is the proposed 2006 budget. Mitch Pomerantz. It's over here.
Thank you, Jeff. Jeff and I had a little discussion a while back, and we agreed that it's not only useful for our newer board members, but for those of you who take the time and the effort to attend board meetings, for us to go through the items on the revenue and the expense side, so you know what the Finance and Budget Committee, that's its real name. It's never shown that way, but that's its real name. What the Finance and Budget Committee has done. My understanding is that all of the committees and their members are listed in the program, which is good. I don't have a program yet, so I don't want to mention members of my committee because I'm probably going to forget one or two. Board members, Kathy Skivers, Jeff, Rhonda, and myself, and Ann Kaiser, were on the committee from the board of directors, and there were some others. So we will go through these items, and if there are questions from board members, we'll respond to those as best we can. REW and Associates, which is one of our variety show fundraisers, we estimated revenue at $34,000. All of these, by the way, keep in mind that what we try to do as a committee is to base our revenue estimates on what the revenue stream has been from that particular source the previous year, perhaps in some cases over several years, and we also are mindful of what has come in up to the date of the meeting. TechLink, Sanderson Group, another one of our fundraisers, $26,000. Universal Thrift Store Incorporated, $5,000. Vehicle Donation Processing Center, $115,000. And if we get $12,000 each month, we'll make it. Affiliated chapter contributions, $3,000. Affiliated chapter dues, $4,000. Members at large, $500. Life membership dues, $400. Conventions, this is income that comes in from based on the convention, $33,000. Bequests, $40,000. Let me stop and say that the bequest figure, that's always a crapshoot, except for the fact that I think all of that money, or most of that money, has already been received, if I'm not mistaken, Mr. President.
We got about $35,000.
Yeah, we got $37,000, and we were supposed to be due, and we are due, a residual, but it turns out the residual, which we thought was going to be about $3,000, is going to be $50, so which we just learned a few days ago. So we probably won't reach that $40,000 on that.
Well, we've been surprised before, so perhaps we will. Contributions, these are from sources other than those named, like chapter contributions, we're talking about other contributions. General, unrestricted, meaning that we can use the funds for anything that the organization deems appropriate, $2,000. Total contributions, $2,000. We have account numbers for this, and I inadvertently started to read an account number. Scholarship. And under scholarships, we've got chapter contributions, $1,500. Scholarship other, $12,000. That's from other sources, obviously. The total for scholarship donations, $13,500. Grants. Public contributions. That's a subcategory. Excuse me. I'm reading this for the first time. Crisis Assistance Fund, $1,000. Total for public contributions is $1,000. Grants other, $15,000. Total grants, then, those two subcategories, $16,000. Ash Settlement, $17,000. Let me just say here, for those of us who go back to when that whole fol-de-rol commenced in the mid-90s when I was president, this will be the last year of receiving funds from that settlement. The obligation of the Ash estate comes to an end, I think, at the end of June, if I'm not mistaken. So we will no longer be receiving funding. Yeah, yes. I heard that, Roger. You're right. Okay. Miscellaneous, $1,000. Fundraisers, scholarship sweepstakes, $7,500. Fundraisers other, $8,000. The total for this for those subcategories, fundraisers, $15,500. Legal settlement, $20,000, and that's money that we have already received, I believe, Mr. President. We're not guessing here. This is money we've have been promised.
This is what we are guessing.
Okay. I thought we had received. I thought we'd received. Okay.
No, this is our wish list.
Okay. It's based on a pretty fair guess.
Based on a lot of irons in the fire.
Yeah. A lot of settlements are coming due this year. Interest, bank savings. Certificates of deposit, $6,000. Excuse me. Investment revenue, keep hoping the market goes up, $27,000. Total revenue, $378,900. $378,900. Now to the expense side. Fixed. Staff support, $121,000. Payroll tax expense, $10,700. Medical insurance, $20,000. Rent, $22,000. Vehicle insurance, $1,800. Office insurance, $1,200. Utilities, $2,900. Workers' comp insurance, $1,600. Bond insurance, $200. Board of directors insurance, $2,200. Accounting services, $8,200. Audit fees, $20,000. Love those auditors.
This is for two audits.
Yes, that's right. Thank you, Peter. This is for last for 03 and 04. So it's $10,000 a year. We did not pay an audit fee last year, I don't believe.
No, we did not.
Yeah, so it, you know, the piper must be paid sometime.
Oh, she's got a pipe.
Well, yes, she's got a pipe. Service contracts, $4,200. Subtotal for fixed costs, $216,000. Other expenses. Hope that's not contagious, Jeff. Miscellaneous expense, $1,300. No, that's not the president's slush fund. Legal, $200. We don't talk to our lawyer much anymore. It's a good thing. Legal advocacy, which is different. Legal, the first category is if we need to talk to our attorney about a settlement of some kind, we want to make sure we've got our I's dotted and T's crossed. The second category, legal advocacy, is when we assist someone with some kind of legal matter. $2,000 is budgeted for that category. Travel and transportation is $8,500. Telephone, $17,000. Blind people do love to talk on the phone. We hope that since we're paying for it, that it has to do with CCB business, however. Public relations, $3,000. Membership development, $500. Printing, $1,200. Braille expense, $200. Printing the Blind Californian. The printing, the above category, is separate. This is the next category is deal strictly with the BC. Printing Blind Californian. BC large print edition, $11,000. Cassette edition, $1,000. Braille edition, $5,100. Total printing for the Blind Californian, $17,100. Licenses, fees, and property taxes, $250. Office supplies, $2,700. Postage, $2,000. Equipment rental, $1,900. Office equipment expense, $3,000. Repairs and maintenance, $2,500. Board of directors, that's not for our repair and maintenance. That's just for our expenses. Board of directors, $6,000. Committee expense, $3,000. Dues to organizations, $4,100. Conferences and seminars, $16,000. Scholarships, $37,000. Grants to organizations, $5,000. Grants to individuals, $5,000. Convention, and again, we're paying for one more convention than normal. So the figure is $66,000. Yes, we are, I believe.
No.
That for just two conventions?
Yeah, it's two conventions.
Okay. I thought we discussed it was for one extra convention. Okay.
No.
All right. $66,000. We'll start having conventions at Motel Sixes. Fundraising expense and reimbursement, $5,500. Grant Development expenses, $6,000. Total expenses, $432,950. Remember that total revenue was $378,900. So total revenue less expenses is $54,050. We tried very hard. I say this to the committee every year. My goal is to have a balanced budget. Goals are sometimes very difficult to achieve, but I believe that our organization is doing very well insofar as keeping expenses to a minimum. So the issue is raising the revenue. Mr. President, members of the Board of Directors, that is the budget that the Finance and Budget Committee is recommending, the operating budget for fiscal year, which is also calendar year 2006. We recommend adoption.
Okay. All right. There's been a recommendment. There's been a recommendation. I like that, though. It should be a word if it isn't. By the way, very few of you may know this, but the opposite of disgruntled is gruntled. Yes. Gruntled means to be humored. Yes. So if you want to be gruntled, that's a good thing.
And it's a great word for Scrabble.
Yes. Anyway, I digress. I don't know if this needs a second, this recommendation, or not. I assume it does.
I did it.
Kathy seconded.
Okay, Kathy has seconded it. Peter, before we open it up to the floor, do you have anything else you'd like to add?
Not at this time.
Okay. Discussion. Okay, I'd just like to say that since I went the other way in one piece of the revenue pie, I have a feeling that perhaps we might even do a little better with REW than expected. In fact, I do intend, no matter how we do, to invite Ron to the fall convention. They have already given us $25,000. They usually go, Peter, isn't it through sometime in June?
Yes.
So they are well on their way. Last year was $31,000, and they are, you know, and we've estimated $34,000, and they're well on their way to exceeding that this year. So I do want to invite him so that he's a nice guy. I think we should get to know him a little bit.
Mr. President?
Yes.
I think the organization does do a good job of holding down expenses. And I think one of the reasons we do is because we have some dedicated employees who do a heck of a lot more than a lot of employees would do. And I just think we're so lucky to have Ed and Marilyn.
You are so right. They do every little thing they can to hold down expenses. We do give them some drinking water, but that's about it. They keep the well, I think it's a good, decent, clear color.
No, it's Hayward color.
Yeah. But they really, you know, the heating is unbearable. They keep it at about 33 degrees in there. They really do everything they can, and we really should be enormously proud of their efforts to keep
even cleaning
down
the office, which
yes,
I wouldn't do.
Yeah, they decided the janitors weren't good enough. Okay, any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor of the motion to accept the budget as adopted, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, thank you. Excellent work by the Budget Committee. They are a well-oiled machine, that group, and I say that because they were before I joined them, and I only sort of gum up the works a little bit by spouting off, but they really crank the budget out every year, and it's a really good group. Mitch and his colleagues. Yes.
Let me just add, I think that the if I can recall correctly, the non-board members on that committee are Terry Stoker, Charles Navarrete, and Dirk Neihard, and Ahmad Rockman. Not Dirk? Ahmad.
No.
Sorry. Sorry about that. Okay. Ahmad, Charles, and Terry. So, well, I told you, that's why I shouldn't do these things from memory.
And they're a good food.
Not too bad. Okay. We'll now go on to item 7, fundraising. Rhonda, part A is yours, your committee report. What are the activities that were taking place here?
Okay. As you know, we did the meeting January 26th and discussed several items. And of course, we're going to be doing our silent auction again this convention, and it will start at 9 a.m. And if anybody wants to know briefly some of the items, we have a book that was published 25 years ago. It's in mint condition, and it's a book listing the last, well, starting in 1881 to 1981. It has 100 years of the front page headline news of the Los Angeles Times.
Braille?
No. No, not likely. I've never seen a newspaper in Braille yet. And then we have a statue that is it's about 2 to 2.5 feet tall. It's a cherub holding or wrapped around a columned, it's either a planter, it has a lid on it that you can remove the lid, it can be used as a planter or a candy dish or whatever. And then we have a picture that is a picture of flowers. They're like burgundies and whites and stuff. We also have some smaller little statues and figurines. And we have a five-piece collection of Kings basketball bobbleheads with the rack that they sit on. And that's just a few of the items. I can't remember all of them, but anyway.
Rhonda, we also have a handmade belt and wallet.
Okay.
And it's basically a beach goodie bag with some wine and a bunch of other assorted items.
By DeMar Travel.
By DeMar Travel.
Okay. So that starts tomorrow morning at 9, and it'll be Friday and Saturday, and you can come by the table and place your bids. And then, of course, we're doing the scholarship sweepstakes. The tickets were sent out, I believe, in December. And I started making calls to some of the chapters and spoke with several of the presidents to make sure that they had received tickets and were making them available to members and other people. And if we could sell all the tickets, and they're still available, I believe some are still available at the CCB registration table. They're $10 a piece. You can buy a ticket by yourself, or you can split the cost of a ticket. And the winners of those tickets, if you buy one yourself, you have the opportunity to win up to $1,500. And the grand prize is $1,000 with three additional prizes of $500, $300, and $200. And those three tickets for the $5, $3, and $200 will be drawn first. The winners of those tickets go back into the drawing for the $1,000. So even if you split the cost of a ticket at $5 a piece, you would still have the opportunity to win up to $750. So the drawing will be held on or at the banquet. So if you haven't purchased tickets, please do so this weekend, because that money is earmarked specifically for scholarships. And we put out $35,000 to $40,000 each year on scholarships for blind and visually impaired students. Okay.
Madam Chair?
Yes?
You forgot to say that when you're a president and you're lucky enough to be on this board, not only did you send out tickets to the presidents for their chapters, but you nailed the board members individually with a like number.
Yeah, we sent 20 tickets to each chapter and affiliate. So that was approximately 800 tickets.
And right?
And then you send them to each board member.
Is that right?
20.
Yes.
20 times 40 is 800, yes. Right. And we also sent 20 tickets to each board member. So, thinking about that, I sold all mine. I need to turn in my money and my stubs. Anyway, the next item that we are working on would probably be okay, the letters. The letters to the different airlines. And we did send the one out to Southwest Airlines because a couple years ago they had given us two tickets that were good for 1 year for any destination in the United States. And we are hoping that they will grant us two tickets for this next fall for our fall sweepstakes drawing. And I think Peter's still working on getting a cruise if possible. Last year we had the cruise, and it was for the 5 days and four nights, and the only problem was you had to get your own round-trip airfare to and from Miami. So we're hoping that if we get the Southwest Airline tickets and the cruise, that they will basically or kind of go hand in hand. And I'm also working on getting all the other information and contact information for other airlines such as United and America West and so on and so forth. And I'm going to be sending them the same letter with some corrections and editorials or what do you call it? Edits.
Just don't send a letter to Delta. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, maybe Delta too.
They'll be on strike.
Oh, they are? Okay. Well, anyway, I wasn't able to do that last month because, as a lot of you know, I was pretty ill. I had pneumonia all last month, so I'm just getting over that. So the next item that we're going to be working on is the CCB jackets. This has been brought up in the fundraising committee meetings for the last 2 years. And even our chapter had suggested that we try to sell jackets, and I made the mention that CCB was going to look into doing that for the state organization. So it was moved that we purchase 50 jackets. I did receive several email messages because the announcement was on the California Connection. I have received several messages stating that people would be interested in the jackets. And we're going to kind of go with the same colors that we had on the keychain that we put out a few years ago. All new members get a free keychain. And it was a white background with royal blue lettering. So we're going to go with the same colors for the jacket, and it's going to be a windbreaker type with a fleece lining. And the smaller sizes will sell for $30, and the larger sizes will sell for $40. And that's because there's a big difference in cost of purchasing the jackets. But they will be royal blue with white lettering, and it'll have the CCB logo on the breast with the motto, and the CCB motto is, "We have a different vision." So we will have those available at the fall convention, and we hope to sell all 50 jackets. So it's going to be a limited supply. So it's first come, first served.
Which breast are you going to use?
The left.
Red one.
Is it a white jacket? It'll be a blue jacket.
Royal blue with white lettering. And another thing that we're going to be talking about at our upcoming fundraising committee meeting, which I believe is on Saturday, right?
Yes.
Okay. Is we're going to see, I know that a lot of the chapters and affiliates do hold their own fundraisers during the year, and I know that they also try to make contributions to the state.
However, we want to try to do something for the state organization in addition to that if we can. And possibly 1 month out of the year, we would like to see the chapters and affiliates hold some kind of fundraising event that would be of their choice. And the money that they would raise would, all of it would go to the state organization to help with our finances at the state. And I know that one of the chapters right now, which is, I guess I can mention, is this Greater San Joaquin Valley chapter. And A.J. Sobiec is their fundraising committee chair, I believe. And he is already organizing a dinner, which will be held September 30th. And they're going to be selling tickets for 100 people. And the place they're getting has donated the cost of the building, and they're going to have the food donated. And they're going to have the mayor be there and the chief of police and so on and so forth. So it's going to be a great fundraiser. Okay? So that's just one idea. You can have dinners or, you know, large raffles or a show or whatever. And if you could do that, and we're hoping that we can do this possibly either in the late summer or early fall. And anyway, that'll be talked about at our upcoming meeting. So anyway, and then that's all I have right now, and I believe Jeff's going to talk about the grant writing.
Okay, thank you very much, Rhonda. You really appreciate what you managed to pull together. Rhonda, a week ago today, we didn't know that she'd be here at all. She really did sound like a wholly different person. So we're glad that you were up and about. So, okay, grant development update. I think the bad news should come first, and that is that we still haven't received any, and that we have been turned down on a couple, three. But the good news is we haven't yet gotten into our 40 hours that we've allotted. We still have a little bit of time that she donated in between before we go into our 40 hours. Pat Borson, with one R, is like her plans are, unless something goes awry. I haven't been in touch with her in a day or two, but her plans are to come tomorrow, not in order to put in some hours, unless she somehow gets some great grant idea out of this, but she wants to just come on her own to get to know you, to get to know a little more, to get a little more inside information. We have some grants that are in the works. We have a guide dog grant that is almost done. We're going to put some finishing touches on. We have a few months to get that in. We want to pursue a grant for our publications, which could cover the BC and which could cover some assistance that we really do need on the website with the visual aspects especially. It's something that, you know, it really frustrates Dan and I know it frustrates Bernice, and it's just not easy, and we really could use some help with that. You know, sometimes we've tried to work things out and haven't, but so there's a grant that we are trying to go for. We're still pursuing grants for the fall convention, obviously, and now that we have some time, we hope that will be successful. And I would also like to urge, and I know it's short notice, and maybe you can't do it at this convention, probably, but I would like to urge committees. I had a brief discussion, for example, with Bonnie Rennie, and I'm not singling you out. I'm just bringing it up as an example of a potential for development and dissemination of another senior brochure. There's a lot we could do PR-wise, but what we're going to need, if if a committee wants to work out some kind of a grant proposal, we can't just say, here's an idea. You know, you have to come up, and that's why I'm saying it's going to take a little bit of time in a conference call or whatever, because you're going to need to flesh out, you know, not only what you want to do and how you want to do it, but the different cost elements so that you can turn something into us that we can go out and look to see if there's a grantor that can fit that particular need. So it's going to take, you know, it not only takes work from Pat and I and Ed and others, mention others, it also takes work from all of you to come up with these ideas and flesh them out. Obviously, we'll reevaluate this process and see how it goes. We certainly hope for success. We need it desperately. And and I wanted to add one other thing. I decided to make an investment for the organization in a digital camera. So Ed or others may be coming around to you and taking some pictures of this convention. Pictures can be important to use on our website for a photo gallery, for grant writing purposes. I came up with the release. We're obviously going to have people sign a release if we're going to use their likeness, because you can run into legal difficulties if you don't do that. I don't know of anybody in this organization that would go sue us for that, but you just never know. You have to be careful with these things. And so we'll cover the legal angle in there by having a signed release. It's very simple. It just allows us to use your picture, essentially. And so we hope that will be something that will pay some dividends. Some grants actually ask for pictures. The guide dog grant, they recommended that we provide pictures for that particular grant that we're applying for. So that's my update for now. I'm open, as I'm sure Rhonda is, to any questions that you may have. Oh, and please, if you do meet Pat, you know, feel free to give her any input. I want her to get to know this organization better, and the way she can do that is to meet all of you. So, thank you. Okay, hearing no questions, we will go on to item 8.
Mr. President?
Yes.
We should move acceptance of the...
Yes, I'm sorry, we should. Is that a motion on your part?
A motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Okay. We're moving on to item 8, student stipend for ACB convention. Historically, in the past, we have sent 2 students. And I will say one thing at the outset. If we decide that we are going to do it, it will be done with some guidelines this year. Last year, we had a student that did not show up for the sessions, and that created a lot of ire amongst a lot of us. And perhaps I should have been more diligent in making sure that she did. But nonetheless, I am going to stipulate in the in whatever literature I send out, if we were to adopt this, that one of the requirements is that you show up for general sessions of the ACB convention. You know, if we're going to shell out our funds for this purpose, then the student has an obligation, I think, to see what ACB is all about. And that's certainly, we sent Gabe a couple times when he was a student, and as you all know, or maybe you don't, Gabe is extraordinarily diligent. He was always attentive at all the general sessions. No one had to tell him to do it. He just was. But unfortunately, I guess it doesn't always apply. So I need to be more careful if we're to do that again, and I will do that. So... is there a motion on this particular topic?
Mr. President?
Yes.
I move, and I'm mindful of our fiscal situation, I move that we send 2 students at a rate of up to $1,000 per student to the ACB National Convention in Jacksonville, Florida. If I can get a second, I want to make a comment second. About why I came up with that figure. Thank you.
Who seconded?
Gene.
Okay.
The airfare, if they don't wait till the last week, should run somewhere around $400, maybe a few dollars more. The hotel is somewhere around $80 a night for, say, six nights.
It's closer to, it's 90.
Okay, so it's five.
14%.
Okay. And that still you know, provides some money. I think, you know, I don't know if the students attend the entire week, but I think given our situation here, I think $1,000 per student for two students is appropriate.
Mr. President?
There's a motion and a second. Wait, hold one second. We're now open to discussion. Kathy?
Yeah, I'm all for sending students, and I know we don't have a lot of money, but I tell you what, I'd rather send one student and pay it all for them and make them be able to enjoy it. I don't want to send a kid out there to sit around and not know what they're going to have for lunch or dinner, and I've seen it. When I was out there, many times I had the pleasure of going out and getting lunch meat and stuff, and we had impromptu luncheons in my quarters. And I, you know, it's $1,000, really. I don't know about the $400, for example. I heard from Los Angeles, Mitch, where you come from, some people told me that they were getting the cost from there and in Sacramento for $500 to $600. Does anybody know anything about that?
No, I've seen a lot less. From L.A., Kathy, no. We're seeing around $400. I actually, if I'd booked sooner, we might have gotten them for in the low threes. So I don't think it should get close to 500 unless they, as I said, unless they book 2 weeks before the convention.
Mr. President?
Okay. Kathy, I assume that you have not yet made an amendment, okay? Just for the clarification.
No, I'm commenting and I'm thinking. I have trouble thinking. I do it out loud.
Okay, that's fine. Rhonda's next.
I just wanted to comment. This is kind of my take on Florida. My son lives in Jacksonville, Florida, and I've been traveling to and from Florida for about 20-some-odd years. And this is my theory. Florida does not want you to leave its state. If you live in Florida and you are flying out of Florida on a round-trip ticket, knowing you're going back, because I just flew my son out here last month. I paid $230 round trip for him to come out here and go back.
My gosh.
But if you live outside of Florida, now if you want to fly into Florida one way, you can get a ticket for about $200-some dollars. But if you're going round trip, and you're going to Florida, and they know you're going to leave their state, they charge you anywhere from $400 to $700 round trip.
When did he book?
Okay.
Now, Rhonda, that's a good theory. Would you apply it to the current proposal?
And that's online. Those tickets are online.
Can I make a statement? I don't have...
No, I'm just trying to get... Where are you going with that? In what direction are you heading?
I just wanted to comment that, you know, that's the cost you're going to pay going there and back.
No, it's not.
Okay,
it's not.
Jean was next, and I think... Jane, sorry.
Turn it on.
And then Artis.
Okay. Is it on?
Okay.
Okay, I'd like to... I think it's very important that students have an opportunity to go, but I think that should be mandatory that they attend a lot of functions, and I think that we could do that also by, you know, scattering them around to let them go to different events. Perhaps give them a luncheon ticket to the library users, or give them, you know, give them the banquet ticket. Give them things that involving in that for the food and for the time that they get acquainted with all the different ranges of the American Council of the Blind, rather than just to go as some of them do and just party. I think that they should have to attend all these functions, and in order to get to go. If we're paying their way, you know, they just should have to dance to our tune, I think. But I think that that's what they're going there for, is an education about the American Council of the Blind. They're not going there, you know, just to fool around and not attend meetings. So I think we should make it possible for them to go.
Mr. Okay, wait. Whoa. We have Jean Artis Lewis, and then Kathy, I guess, after that.
Yeah, with a friendly amendment.
Yes, but...
Thank you. I agree with what Jane has said, and I'm not offering this as an amendment, but I think I would like to see minimum, beside the ACB general sessions, that they be asked to go to the National Alliance of Blind Students to become somewhat, maybe involved, interested in there. That's where some of us have started our leadership, started in that student component. The other thing is, I'd like to see them perhaps maybe after they come back, that maybe they give us either at a convention, the following convention, or in writing, kind of a report as to what they gained from the experience.
Yeah. Good idea.
Good idea.
So I think, you know, that would be something that that would be good for us to learn, what they're learning from it, what their perceptions are, especially from the perspective of the youth. And maybe it can help us shape our organization. Thank you.
Okay, that's a very good suggestion. Okay, Artis is next.
No, I've got a mic here. I just wanted to make the comment that if we ask them to room with someone, then they would still have enough money left to cover their food with $1,000, I would think.
Yeah, and I have made it a point, and I did last year, we gave them half the room, basically. That was part of the deal. Okay, Lewis is next, and then Kathy, you're next. You need a mic down there? You want to pass this down?
Okay, pass this down.
I would like to speak in support of what Kathy is saying in terms of if we're going to send a student, we need to remember that the students are the future of this organization. And it would be better to send one student full paid with not having to worry about meals, not having to worry about other kinds of things. Because when students look at our overall assets, they see us as a million-dollar organization. That's what they're looking at, the overall assets. So why should we either send one student full pay or raise the ante to $1,500 each for two students? In that way, they are covered. If you want to send two students, send enough to cover two students. If you're going to send one student, then all of the stipulations that has to be worked out so that we don't have a situation that happened last year. But let's be fair to our students.
Mr. President?
Okay. Kathy, you're next.
First of all, I think this is a great idea, and I want to make a friendly amendment. Before I do that, I simply want to say, if we're going to do this, and we apparently are every year, I think that rather than picking some students and have them go, we should have like a write-in like we do on first-timers in Durwood McDaniel and have students apply to CCB to go so that we at least know they have an interest.
Kathy, I actually have them write me a letter.
Mm-hmm.
So I have tried to implement that part of it. It's not as formal because we don't have the time, but I do try to have them write me a letter, and I do try to call them. So to that extent, I mean, it would be better if we could have a committee and work on it, but because we want to get this done and get the airfares and all of that, I've been resistant a little bit, although I'd love to delegate it, but I haven't figured out how to do that.
Well, Jeff, you know what? One more brief comment before I get into my amendment, and I do have one. I'm concerned about sending them on half room. You know, it's okay to say, yeah, you can get a roommate, but that isn't always easily done. And you don't want to just narrow yourself down to sending two girls or two boys. And I don't think we better get into sending a girl and boy of our choice. Having said that, my friendly amendment would be that CCB send two students to the National Convention, that we provide their transportation and hotel expenses, and that we give them a per diem for incidentals.
Did she agree to the two?
She's, Mr. President, Kathy.
I'm next.
I really can't accept that. I think we need to decide on a figure and stick by it. So I, you know, you'll need to get the motion amended the normal way, because I will not accept that.
Okay, then I have another friendly amendment. I move that we increase the amount from 2,000 to 2,500.
So you're
saying that they would max out at 1250?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I will accept that.
And the seconder, whoever the seconder was.
Who seconded? Nobody seconded it yet.
Gene.
Oh, did you? Oh, good.
Okay, Gene accepts it. So the motion now on the floor is that we send two students with a maximum total allocation of $2,500, which, by the way, did work last year. I don't have the figures in front of me, but I'm pretty sure we 1,200 was our maximum last year. Okay. Do we have any more discussion?
No, I just had a comment that I also was going to agree to the two students, and the main reason for that would be that each person's going to have their own interests, so they're going to want to attend different meetings. And so sending two students, they would gain different perspective and different knowledge on ACB and what they do.
Mr. President, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Jerry.
Yeah, I don't know if this has been done in the past, but relative to what was just said earlier, I think once we give the okay and we've made the selection of the two students, I think we should tell them that one mandatory aspect of this is that they will be expected either to report at a convention or to submit an article in the BC, one of the two things.
Jerry, I will put that in, and I will put that in actually before we make the award, because I think that's needed to be said up front. Okay, hearing no further discussion. Sorry, I ate the mic there. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Okay, the motion is carried. I want to just add one word since we're talking about the ACB convention as an update. I intend to serve as the delegate this year, and I've chosen as an alternate delegate someone who has not had the opportunity to do that, at least since I've been going to conventions. He probably did before, and that is our second vice president, Eugene Lozano. So, with the amount of time he's put in for this organization over longer than I have, that's for sure. He is highly deserving of that honor.
And Jeff, don't you make him share a room with somebody he doesn't know either.
I'll submit it to Kathy Lozano first. Okay. We are now on item 9, fall 2006 convention subsidy. The room rate at the Sheraton, which I'm really excited about going there. I hope it has all the appeal that it showed when all of us visited there last year. We'll never know until we go. But it certainly looked good, and the staff looked very nice. The room rate is $80. I would entertain, plus, I can't remember the tax. I think it's
12 or 14.
Yeah, I can't remember. It's either 12. It's one of those two, and I can't remember which. I would propose that we, well, I would entertain a motion that we continue to pay the rate in excess of $80. In this case, that will be less than we are paying at this convention, so that we are, in essence, paying the tax.
I so move, Mr. President.
Second. I'll second.
There's a motion, a second. Is there any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Abstentions. Okay, the second part of that would be to set the meal rates. I would entertain a motion to retain the meal rates as they are.
And remind folks what that is.
15 for lunches. What's the banquet? 30?
30 for the banquet.
30 for the banquet and 25 for the president's dinner.
Mitch, what town is this? What city?
This is at the Los Angeles Airport Sheraton.
Your airport adjacent.
Hotel.
I so move.
Second.
There's a motion, a second. Is there any...
Who seconded?
Artis. Yeah, Artis was probably first. Is there any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, remember we have a 2-year contract with them, so we really are taking that gamble, and we're going to hope it works. But I can tell you, we were certainly very, very impressed. Those of us, Gene and I and Ann and I forget, Peter and somebody else, Ed, of course, we're all very impressed with that facility. So, and I'm also going to throw out a challenge to you Southern Californians to come up with as good an agenda as we have this time. So, yeah. All right. Number 10, Spring 2007 convention bids. I'll turn it over to our convention chair, who really gets whatever credit is to be gotten for putting together this convention agenda, Gene Lozano.
Thank you, Marilyn. We I forget the number, but there was approximately about 15, 16 proposals that went out to various hotels in the Bay Area and the Sacramento area.
And Fresno.
We got back approximately 7 proposals. And the convention, the 7th one came after the convention committee met, but looking at it, it did not meet the criteria that we were using for the other hotels. Before I get into our top 3 hotels and then our recommendation, I think what we are discovering in the convention committee is that... rates right now are really going up, not only in Sacramento, but the Bay Area. We were getting hotels, which we did not consider, starting like $99 per night. There was the, in Sacramento, one that we turned down, the DoubleTree. Just to give you an example, for a single room was $99, and a double was $109. We are going to be facing that with the rates going higher and higher, just for the board and the membership to be aware of that. Okay, we narrowed it down to 3 hotels: the Fremont Marriott Hotel, the Sacramento Hilton, the one we are right now at, and in the Capitol Plaza, where we were last spring.
Oh, damn.
The Fremont Hotel, which Ed went out and actually had an opportunity to look at the facility. It's a very modern facility. It was built in 1999. It's in very excellent condition. Had a lot of promise. Including a room rate of $84 per night. However, it's in Fremont, and most of you fly by airplane to our conventions. And we checked, or rather Ed did for us, Super Shuttle. And to get you an idea, and this is what killed the proposal from the convention committee's perspective, is... from San Jose Airport was $75 one way. San Francisco Airport, $97. And then Oakland, $120. So we assumed that you were not going to be really enthusiastic about that. Unless somebody really wants to go over that proposal, I don't think we should use the time. Okay.
You need an earthquake to move three miles closer to civilization.
Or global warming.
Or global warming.
Mr. Chairman, the thing that you left out aside from the money, we are bond people. We don't need to stay at a hotel that you need to drive to.
Okay. The Capitol Plaza downtown where we were last time, they are offering us $84 per night for the hotel room, the single and double. How much in depth do you want me to go into?
Take it.
A little bit, just a little.
Okay. Let me just. I'm not going to go through everything, but just giving you an idea.
Is that with tax or without?
No, that's without tax. Let's see. Where is it? It's interesting. I've lost it. Well, the dinners there were. Where is it?
Yes. Yes.
Hang on a second, please. I ask for your patience.
The meals, I believe, Gene, were fairly similar to, not too different from the Arden West.
You know the reason why I can't find it? They didn't provide us that information in their proposal. So that's the reason. The Super Shuttle is approximately $13 to go there. Okay, we can go into... And let's go to the next proposal, unless somebody really wants to go more into that.
Well, I would like to say one minor negative, because I think there are some real positives about it as well. But one of the negatives is it is downtown at night. When you're taking your guide dog out, you know, for some, it wasn't the most comfortable thing in the world. There were no incidents, per se. We did have the problem that Roger and Bernice had with the hotel staff person, but that was probably something that won't be repeated, but anyone never know.
Jeff, excuse me.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm eager to...
I want to say that there were other people missing minor things that they didn't think of as being, you know, like our situation, but in general, I think that it was not safe. The staff... And I never got reimbursed, even though they told me they would reimburse me because I lost. There was a police report or something. But I think a lot of people were missing little things out of their rooms and didn't realize that that was happening. Mm-hmm. And that's attributed to the staff. I don't feel comfortable going to a hotel where you can't feel safe to leave your belongings in your room.
Okay, but in essence, security, both from a location perspective and to some degree from that perspective, is at least an issue. I'm not going to say it's determinative, but it is an issue that the board and the convention. Okay, I know. Thank you. It is an issue that the convention committee weighed among others in its determinations. So.
Including the positive thing of the Amtrak and the Greyhound depots being very close. You had the mall there. If you wish to go outside of the hotel for meals or shopping. So that was things we did consider. It's not one of the more complicated hotels to get around in either. So that's a real plus. Okay, the Sacramento Hilton, where we are this evening, has offered us two different proposals, a one-year proposal and a two-year proposal. And at the one-year proposal for room rate is $89 per night, and that also includes the various taxes that go along with it.
It's inclusive?
No. In addition. Plus. In addition.
In addition.
No.
Oh. Okay. Well, we're in trouble. They're in addition.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Then their two-year proposal for 2007 would be... that would be... $84. And...
No. 91.
No. 91 for that would be in 2008.
89 in 2000.
Okay.
Seven.
Like we said.
The benefit of 2 years then.
Well, he'll tell you.
89
in
2007, 91 in 2008.
Yes.
Okay, let me do it again. Okay, the 2 year proposal.
Listen up.
$88 for 2007. Okay. 2008. It would be $91. And regardless whether it's the one-year or two-year proposal, there would be a 12% tax. That's plus. In addition, there would be a $1.31 tourism tax. Okay. We then... the breakout rooms, there would be no charge as long as we achieve the 85% of the minimum room occupancy, and that's seen we've been able to do that or exceed it. In the food and beverages, our commitment of how much we have to, that we have to achieve is if we went for the one-year proposal, it would be $8,900. Plus sales tax and the 20% gratuity that would go along with it. The two-year proposal, the first year would be $8,600, and then in 2008 would be $8,900. Exhibits. It would be for a single table with the two chairs with the cloth cover for it would be $15 per day per table.
I don't know.
That's for exhibits I'm talking about. The 6-foot table. So one table would be $15 and each day would be...
About $30 total.
Yes, $30 total. So... what we've been told for meals at this point, like luncheons, you know, our luncheons, would be $19 and upwards. Dinners would be $26 and upwards. And again, that would be the sales tax and the 20% gratuity that would go along with it. Parking is free.
Thank you.
That is important for getting our volunteers. There is a charge when we were down the Holiday Inn. There was a charge, though we worked out something the last time, but it still was not free. The guide dog relieving area, those guide dog users have given us positive feedback about the facilities here at the hotel. The hotel... has Braille signs, and I had a conversation with them about 2 months ago about the missing Braille signage, the signage they had not gotten, and inquired if what was the possibilities of getting that signage and bringing it up to compliance. And they, from what they told me in the limited time prior to getting here, I was able to check, they have achieved that. They have provided us what we were asking in the current code. And there was no resistance, willingness to do that. And then the transportation is estimated that it would be maybe about $16, $17 super shuttle.
Mr. Chairman, can they get in Sacramento? I believe they can. If they're paratransit users?
Yes. Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's universally true.
It'd be $8 from the airport.
Yeah.
$8.
Yes. And then there are, of course, the wheelchair accessible rooms here. The convention committee's recommendations would go with the Sacramento Hilton Hotel. It recommended to go with the 1 year rather than the 2 year proposal. And it was the recommendation, too, that if we decided to go with that, which would be $89 per night, that plus the tax and the tourism thing there, that we would underwrite it, but we would go to ask that the we'd have to raise the match that the people would, the membership would come in, that would be $85. We're just getting to the point that it's just, because when you get to the $89, the taxes and everything, we're going to be talking over $90 per person, probably around $95.
Oh, more than that. More than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you, Ken. I'm just going to, I think the board to discuss the, one, if they agree with this, that the Hilton should be the hotel to go to. And if so, then looking at the 1 year and 2 year, I did call Corey Darf, our contact person here at the hotel, and I asked her, I said, if we went to another hotel and decided to come, you know, in 2008 and looked at a proposal from you, how much do you think we could expect that you might put out there? And she said that the way the rates are going and taking into account the history of working with us, they would be probably charging us anywhere, proposing anywhere from the mid to the upper 90s for a single and double room. That's where things are going up. And so she's, you know, like she said, that's the their two-year proposal with the $91 a second year, that would be a lot lower. So I'm just throwing that in there for information, and I'll turn it over to you, Jeff.
Okay, yeah. One of the reasons that we opted for the 1 year was because we still do want to try, although it's getting more difficult, to go to the Bay Area, possibly Fresno. We did solicit Fresno, by the way, and weren't able to work anything out. So, and perhaps the Holiday Inn to consider as well. We certainly don't want to limit ourselves, and so it was thought that that we should take a gamble. But on the other hand, it really is a gamble because we might not find another place we want to go, and then we will be out in 08 and taking a higher rate. So the dates, by the way, the two possible dates for 07 at the Hilton are like...
11th-16th of April?
Yeah, the 11th through 16th and the last weekend of April.
I think it's April 30th through May
4th. No, it's... 25th through 29th or something like that.
Mr. President, by do we have to come up with what's our time limit on accepting this proposal from the Hilton?
Well...
How soon do we have to sign this? To get this,
the sooner the better. Obviously, the dates could fill. We can't. You're not going to.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Can I add one thing else?
I am
sorry. Excuse me, Peter.
If we were to come here and the dates that Jeff talked to him about would include us, whether we went with the 1 year or the 2 year proposal, is that we would get the larger room for the banquet.
Yeah,
that Jeff was able to work out specifically for dates that would allow us to have that.
Mr. President,
Jeff is
artist.
1 second, artist wants more.
Okay. Yeah, and we did determine, by the way, those two dates are not over Easter.
Or Passover.
So, or Passover. Artists.
Okay, I had a
and
question.
And Mitch after that.
Did you discuss with the Holiday Inn about security and if they have improved it or could improve it?
I'm sorry, artist, could you repeat your question?
Yes. Did you, in talking to the Capitol about its proposal, talk to them about increasing their security if they have or if they could?
No. No, I can't say we talked about that.
Can I make a comment?
Yeah. Absolutely.
It would be rather difficult, even if they had more security, because the real big difference is that that hotel, it's very easy for the public to go through it, and it's hard to control it. Where we're more, like at this place, we're more isolated, and so it would be hard, I think, for them to fully control it, and probably if they had to put on security, I'm making an assumption, that's probably something we would probably have to incur some costs. That's my assumption, not CCB or Jeff's.
Okay, and I wanted to add that, I just wanted to verify it. I didn't bring my contract down, I apologize. The date for the Capitol Plaza is also the 11th through the 16th of 07. So, Mitch wanted to report.
Gene, the reason that I'm not making a motion to accept the proposal is I do have one concern. As chair of finance and budget, I absolutely believe that we need to continue our policy of several years now of subsidizing the rooms. I am very uncomfortable locking us in now to that increase in the subsidy.
There would be separate recommendations.
Okay, well, you proposed it as one. Well, I'll just conclude by saying if we have a great year, we might be in a position of even increasing the subsidy. So I just believe that the proposal should be adopted separate from any recommendation on a subsidy. I would not support locking us down on any kind of subsidy amount this year for next.
Okay.
I agree with you, and I was just going to us to propose the one, taking forward the one recommendation, which was the year proposal. The other part of the subsidy, that was just to let you know that was the committee's opinion, but didn't think any action should be taken on this right now until we know where things are budgetarily, like you were saying, okay, in the future. So I'm sorry for that miscommunications.
Okay, I'm going to assume that Gene, for purposes of this discussion, on behalf of the committee, has made a motion for the one-year plan just to get something out on the floor. So we need a second to the motion.
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been
Mr.
moved
Chairman.
And seconded. Discussion, yes, Kathy.
All right. In the real world that we live in, things are higher. I've seen all these proposals that have come in, and they're higher, most of them, than what we're seeing here. And we can do it for 1 year, and I agree. We, of course, I think to say that we're not going to do it because we may not know what we have the next year. We know that's going to go up, but I do think that I'm going to support this 1 year to come to this hotel, and I'm going to strongly urge us all to think about getting away from the major areas. We need to look around and see if perhaps Ontario or Fresno or even Bakersfield, if there are cities there where we need to go to see blind people, and we need to go there and see if we can get cheaper rates. I think we don't have to meet. True, we have the biggest bunch of blind people in Bay Area and down in Los Angeles area, but just the same, we've got blind people out there that don't even know about us, and I think we should take this 1 year now and seriously start seeking out places in other cities where we might be able to find it more affordable.
Okay, any other discussion?
Yeah, well, yes, may I have the
Wait,
microphone?
Yeah.
It sounds to me like Bernice possibly had something not pleasant happen to her at the Capitol Holiday Inn, but I want to say that you can almost walk to the Holiday Inn from that hotel. This is quite a distance from the Capitol. to go here, you know, to go, and then we have to pay for people with vans and so forth who would like to go to the Capitol. I found, and I've gone for several other different conventions at the Capitol Holiday Inn, found their food to be more reasonably in price. You can go right down the stairs and go out to other choices of inexpensive dining and not be stuck in the hotel. And the bathrooms here, if two women are sharing a bathroom, that the space is not so good. I didn't care for this hotel nearly as much as I did the Capitol Inn, Holiday Inn, and that's all I have to say.
Okay, Jerry is next.
Mr. President, I'm going to echo what Jane said. I think that with hotel security as it is, of course we want to get the best we can get, but it's always going to be a chancy proposition. But I think the fact that we are close to the Capitol at the Capitol Plaza, we don't know what issues are going to be important coming next year. During the legislative season, we don't know whether we really want to bring out the troops to do a massive campaign come this time next April. So just the proximity at the Capitol Plaza, I think, is a plus that we should strongly consider.
Okay. Yeah. Wait a minute. Who's anybody who has not had the floor yet on the board want to speak before Gene makes another comment?
Barbara doesn't speak.
Well, no, you're not. You're out of order. I gave you one chance, unless that's unfair. Yeah, well, that's Barbara's. Barbara knows how to speak up. That's one thing Barbara knows how to do. Okay. Gene, you're next.
I appreciate what Jerry and Jane said, but I think the reality is, I hate to say this, but the Holiday Inn, it is not in one of the better parts of town. It's close vicinity to the Capitol, yes, but you are dealing with a lot of social problems down in that area. We're a distance from here, from the Capitol, yes, but I think we can work that out if the group decides to go with this. I mean, I personally feel a lot much safer here than I do at the other place. Personally, just going outside. I'm not talking about within the hotel, just going outside. So when it gets dark, it's not the best place.
No. Well, I can't see that, so.
Okay, any other comments?
Well, basically, I'd like to support us going to the Arden West again for one more year. I think it's a nicer hotel. There's nothing that we can do about the security in the rooms, unfortunately, and that presents a real downside to the Holiday Inn, and plus the seediness of the area. And there are ways, if we get a bunch of people to go to the Capitol, we can also get cabs or perhaps rent a van if we have to. You know, it's not the
neighborhood would improve.
The proximity of the
legislature somewhere else.
Capitol is not the major concern. I think it's the security of our people. And the guide dog area is nicer. And plus the parking for the volunteers. At this hotel, at this convention, we have a wonderful staff of volunteers. I'm not sure if we would have gotten that wonderful staff of volunteers attending the Holiday Inn. So support us.
Okay.
Supporting the one-year proposal.
Move the question, Mr. President.
Okay, I'll ask for if anyone who has not spoke, do they have any last commenters? Okay, the question has been asked for. All those in favor of the motion to accept 1 year at the Arden West, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
Okay, the motion carries. I don't think there needs to be a roll call on that vote unless somebody asks for it.
Let's have a roll call.
I don't.
Are you saying that, Jane, because you just want a roll call, period, yeah, which is not a bad reason. You want a roll call?
Yeah, I'd like to be.
Okay, that's perfectly fine. Okay, Rhonda, now you're going to need those names again.
Yeah.
Okay, and I don't believe Jeff votes on this.
You're correct.
Get on a mic. Yeah.
Okay. Yes, sir. Okay, I'm on a mic.
Woo!
Mitch Pomerantz.
Yeah, I.
Now you're voting for
Gene Lozano.
I'm voting for the motion.
For being here.
Kathy Skivers.
Aye.
Jerry Arakawa.
No.
Artis Bazin.
No.
Barbara Rhodes.
Yes.
Ann Kaiser.
Aye.
Can't hear you.
Jane Cardis.
No.
Louis Preston.
Yes.
Gene Lozano. Oh, I already asked him. Okay, Rhonda. Aye. Who else is next?
Al Beagler.
Al Beagler.
I go for it.
I think that's an aye.
Okay, that's...
No, there's two absences, so...
Yeah, there's two absences. Is there anybody else that I didn't call on?
Your favorite person on the board.
Oh, Peter Pardini.
Hi.
Okay, I believe that's all, because Richard and Gabe are...
9-3.
And it's 9-3.
Okay, thank you, Madam Secretary.
Mr. President?
Yes.
Just indulge me just 1 second. I agree with Kathy about looking different places, but just to let you know... we did get a proposal on a suggestion from Ken Metz of the Crown Plaza Concord. And there was a Santa Clara at Marriott. And like the Concord super shuttle from Oakland was $150 one way. And there was no van. So, I mean.
$150.
So I'm just saying this, Kathy. I mean, the.
And they warned us to be quiet at night.
Yeah. So the thing is, what I'm saying is, I agree with you. We, you know, and Jeff is, and Ed have been trying to find different places, but we're also going to be facing sometimes the distance, like some communities that, because they're not direct air flights and things like that, that is going to be really hard to get affordable conventions. So that's something we'll have to balance out.
You
that's
need to put Jay on your committee. I don't remember. I tell you about, you need to put Jay on your committee. Rhonda's, is that brother-in-law, Rhonda?
AJ.
You know what? That man needs to be on the committee, Mr. President, because he came to me earlier and told me some event that was happening, and he said, and I've made arrangements for you to be there. Send him out to get a hotel. I'll bet you he'll get him.
All right. We'll look into it.
And I want to thank the convention committee members. I will not identify them just because I could not recall every single person. It's a huge committee and a hardworking group. Thank you very much.
They are, by the way, we couldn't get a bid from whatever the Radisson's called now. They didn't have dates for us, but they are building a new hotel. I don't know if it's completed yet.
No, it's not.
No, yeah, I didn't think so. And so we're also going to look at that when it's done. So, yes, we certainly are keeping Fresno on the radar screen.
Mr. President, is that the one where I broke my ankle?
Yes, Kathy, it is. But we don't want to overlook anything, Kathy.
I don't think they're
going
to be looking forward to having
it. Oh, no. They've got permanent ramps now. You'll be happy to know.
They've improved.
They had them then, Mr. President.
No, they didn't. Those were temporary.
That was not a
Okay. Publications Committee. Before I...
Jeff? Ed reminded me that there's been two different convention organizations going out looking for places for us, too.
Oh, yeah. We're in contact with several. They come to us. The visitors bureaus of these cities, and so we certainly talk to every one of them in hopes of coming up with some kind of a bid. We're not going to overlook any possibilities. That wasn't said. It's probably, I appreciate that comment.
11 to 16.
For the other one. The later
25
one.
25 to 30. Well.
The later one would be better, I think. But I don't know. Let's take it up with the board. See what the, somebody make a motion as to what date. And neither, Easter does not fall on either one of them.
Mr. President, I move weeks. Except the later date from the Orton West.
That one is too close to the fall one.
Okay, well, wait a minute. Wait. There's a motion. Is there a second even? We don't have a second yet.
Seconded.
Was there a second?
Yes.
Discussion.
Okay, there's a discussion. Okay.
Mr. President?
In fact, maybe the easiest way to do it would just be to, we'll have discussion, and then we will just take a vote and for the two dates and the majority, rather than having two separate votes, if the board is willing to do that.
Mr. President.
Okay, Mitch was first, Gina second.
I think that it really is a better plan to have the convention earlier in April because of the proximity to the national convention.
Well, I'm going to make a point of order. We were in error, and this motion doesn't need to be made because it turns out that the later date in April, and I could have swore it was the other way, later date in April only applied in 2008. So I have an apology from the president, but this discussion can be dispensed with, and we can move on.
Okay.
So 11th to the 16th. Yeah, that was my error. So... Publications Committee. Before I ask Bernice for an update, is Mike Heatley in the room?
Yes, I'm here.
Mike, do you want to, our new editor of the BC, do you want to come up and introduce yourself to the membership? Okay, you just give us your greetings.
Oh, thank you very much. I want to thank Jeff and Bernice and Winifred for coaching me, and Jeff and Bernice for accepting me, and I'm going to be around. Thank you very much.
Okay, Mike is going to be around all weekend, our new BC editor. It's a daunting task. The shoes he has to fill, as I said, on the connection are almost overwhelming, but he's going to live up to it, and he's already worked extremely hard on the last couple of issues, really, but the last issue on his own. So you can give him your help by getting those articles in there. Okay, Bernice, do you have a publications update that you'd like to give? Not required, but
I don't really have anything to say. I haven't had an opportunity to talk with Richard, and then I need to talk with Mike about trying to get the three formats out closer to each other. I was a little disappointed that the email was deployed so early, and Richard was supposed to try something different with the email. So, but we keep working on it.
Okay, thank you. And sometimes the less that has to be said, the better things are. So, you know, there's good to that. Okay. Item 13, we're moving along well. Vehicle donation program list. I have opted to, this is an item that I would like the board to take one more look at. And it will do as it sees fit. Essentially the issue is we were asked by ACB if we would be willing to share the names of our donor list that donate cars to us.
Mr. President?
Yes. Isn't this a point of order? You have to wait, but if
all
it's
right.
but otherwise you'll be the first one under discussion. I'm just reviewing the issue. There's no motion on the floor yet. The issue last time was voted down. In my view, it would not hurt us to give away that donation list since we do not use it and don't have any current plans, although obviously we could. I think that it would be, since ACB does have a capital campaign that they are trying to inaugurate, other states have been willing to go along, some anyway, I don't know how many.
No.
Perhaps Mitch could enlighten us. I personally have no objection to seeing this list provided to them. And so I am willing to entertain a motion to rescind the vote and approve provision of the list.
Mr. President?
Mr. President?
Hold it. Rhonda, would you allow Mitch to either make his motion or not before you discuss? Just... You clearly have the right to talk first if you want to.
Well, yes, I believe that I would like to speak on this matter
first. Okay, you have the right to discuss first. Even if he makes this motion, you're going to be the first person to discuss before him or anybody.
No, go ahead. Well, all right.
I move, and I'd like to speak second, but I move that CCB rescind its prior motion, thereby releasing the vehicle donation list to the American Council of the Blind for use by AKA and Associates in its direct mail campaign.
Okay, is there a second to the motion? Yeah, sorry. Okay, so do we have a second to the motion? The oh, wait a minute. Is it Lewis that seconded it?
Yeah, to your left.
Okay, I believe it was. Lewis has seconded the motion. Now, Rhonda, you were first.
Well, at the November 28th, 2005 teleconference call that we had, it was board motion 0557. And this matter was brought up and discussed, and it was defeated. And there were several reasons brought up why CCB did not want to release this list. And there was a roll call vote, and it was 7-5 and defeated it. And what I want to say is this is a motion that has been brought up. It was thoroughly discussed at that meeting, thoroughly, and it was defeated. And if we're going to bring up an issue that's already been defeated and rescind a previous motion, does that mean that other motions in the past that have been brought up and defeated that we're going to continue the practice of bringing them up until they pass?
There is nothing that precludes a member from seeking to reverse the position of the board prospectively. Not retrospectively, of course, but prospectively. So, yes, this certainly isn't meant to be unique. If a board member wants to do this, I see no problem, you know, on a theoretical basis from doing it. It has nothing to do with the merits of this.
Well, then, once again, I'm voting that we do not release the list, and my reasons for that stand the same as they did in November, is that our donors trust the privacy of their names and did not donate vehicles to us thinking that their names are going to be released for other promotional or fundraising purposes, and it could affect the possibility of them either donating additional cars in the future, or by word of mouth they could talk to other people and tell them that it's not a good thing to donate to our organization because they run the risk of having their names turned over to other organizations, even though it is our national organization. So I am standing on my previous vote of no.
Mr. President.
Mitch.
With all due respect, the issue Rhonda raises is based on unfounded speculation. The people who donate, we all donate to various causes, and we all know that those lists are bought and sold. That's a fact of life. That's reality. One of the reasons that we raised the issue this time is that subsequently in talking to a couple of board members, there appeared to still be some confusion regarding how the list would be used. The list would not be used for ACB's vehicle donation program. Three years ago, ACB signed a contract with an organization called AKA. They are a direct mail provider out of Washington State. And they send out letters asking people to contribute to the organization. The ACB Board of Directors reviews the material in those letters. They're very well done. And they simply talk about the organization and invite people to make contributions. ACB is attempting to build on its existing database of fiscal supporters. People who would give their vehicles to CCB know something about the organization, and statistically it is proven that they are more inclined, therefore, to contribute to similar causes such as our parent organization, the American Council of the Blind. There is absolutely no basis in fact that people who make these donations are going to be unhappy about receiving other lists. They expect it. We expect it. And it's simply the way direct mail fundraising is done. It is proven. It is effective. And I urge my fellow board members to support the motion.
Mr. President.
Kathy.
In the real world, every day, everybody here and everywhere gets mail. Somebody wants money for something. And it's generally junk mail that gets junked. But I have a problem here that goes deeper than the matter of this list. I am concerned. I've been on this board since 89. And while everybody has a right to bring up amendments anytime they want to and revisit anything they like, I don't remember it ever happening. And we were pretty definite when we made our vote. We had 7-5, and I find it very interesting that Ken Metz was on the board at that time, and he was an aye vote, and Richard Rueda was an aye vote, and they're both not here. And that bothers me. And Gabe was a for it the other way, but he is not here either. And, you know, I have some things that have happened when votes didn't go the way I thought they should, and I never thought to bring them up. If it really bothers me, I'll take it to the membership. But I don't believe that it was a thing to do for us to have things donated to us. Is ACB going to get any money for this? Are they selling this list to AKA?
No.
You want me to respond?
No, go ahead.
No, what we are doing, we have a contract, Kathy. And the names that are forwarded from the state affiliates go to AKA, which sends out the letters. And by the way, Kathy, I'm sorry, but you know we've all had revotes on motions. We do it with resolutions. When the facts change and when the information changes, it's wholly appropriate to do what we're doing here.
Well, I haven't heard any information that changed.
Okay.
And I don't, you know, I just don't think it's a thing to do to give our list to ACB. We voted not to do it. It's our list. And I spoke with John Learned and asked if there was any prohibition against doing it, and that isn't from their viewpoint. But also no other state that I know of has yet given it. None of them are as big as we are. I can see the advantage of getting our list. But I still will vote no. And I tell you, if we're going to make it a practice of doing this, I'm getting my little list out, and I'm coming for the membership. You're going to see more motions than you ever heard of.
So be it.
That's not a threat. That's a promise.
Yeah, that's fine. I think you've done it in the past, Kathy.
All right. Is there other discussion on the motion? Hearing none.
Jeff, we should have a roll call. Jeff.
We'll take a voice vote first. I'm sure it'll be a roll call. But
Jeff, Ron is getting good at this.
I would like to ask Mitch a question. This is not... If... would there be an exchange if we went to ACB and asked for that information of the list of those donors they have in their list from California that may not be part of the list? Would they give that to us?
That's actually the best question I've heard in this whole discussion, Gene. The answer is that I would certainly bring that forward to President Gray. I don't see why not. I can't answer, you know, wholly in the affirmative, but it's appropriate and it's fair, and I would carry, if the motion passes, I will certainly carry that forward to Chris and the board of directors of ACB.
I would feel more comfortable before taking a vote having that bit of information before we take any vote on it.
And Mr. President?
Gene, you haven't done anything procedurally to cause that. So if you want to do something, you're going to have to.
Then I move
something.
That we table this motion until we have more information for the next board meeting.
Okay.
Well, specifically.
Okay. Why not? Okay, can you move it to a time certain, i.e., the next board meeting?
Well, yeah. Whenever you're going to call a conference, a telephone
right.
Board
right.
meeting. That's what I meant. The next
with the understanding that this that your question must be answered for it to
yes.
come up.
Mr. President?
Okay, that's the motion. There isn't a second yet.
Yes, there is. Two others.
Okay, sorry, I didn't hear. Who seconded it? Okay, there's a motion and a second to table. To table the motion until the next board meeting with the understanding that it would come up only so long as we have the information on whether ACB would be reciprocal in providing names of donors from California. Is that a synopsis of your motion? Correct
yes.
synopsis? Okay. Mitch, you want the floor?
Yep. Mr. President? I will.
I think it's non-denominational.
Oh, okay. I wasn't going to debate it. I was simply going to say I have no problem with that. President Gray will be here this weekend. We can get an answer real quick and have it for the next board meeting. Teleconference board meeting.
Okay. There's a motion on the floor. All those in favor of the motion to table until the next board meeting, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Passes unanimously. Very good.
Get that information.
Very good. Okay. Kathy, you have the next two items.
Yes, I have to report on two funds.
I told you.
The first is the Newell Perry Endowment Fund.
Chris really wanted
it. It's in our Constitution. If you ever want to look it up, it's Article 4. We have currently, as of day before yesterday, $164,818. It's done very well. We've been working with a lady named Donna Anderson and a gentleman named Jose Zavalita. And they are great people. And Richard Rueda, Pat LaFrance, and I are trustees on this account. And we've been working with it. We put $25,000 into a fund in 2002, and it's made $30,000. And that's just one of the funds. I'm trying to read with one hand and read with the other and hold the mic with the other. But anyhow, we have the bulk of our funds are in mutual funds. We do have one money market with 4.75 rate of interest, and we watch that, and when it needs to be increased, we do increase it. We meet with them. I think at the end of May, we probably will have a meeting with them. Things are going well. They call ours a pretty conservative fund. I remember when this fund was given to the organization was at, I think when we merged, it was around $79,000. So we feel pretty good about $164,818. If the market stays the way it is, they assume that we're going to keep going well. As long as we don't take any money out, it goes reinvested. We've only taken it out the one time that I know of to help those people with employment questions. and we have no intention of taking it out, but we will be discussing among the trustees the way the fund works. If this board chose to do so, we could, for our like purposes, take some of that out. So the board, the trustees will be discussing this, and the next time we report to you, we'll be able to tell you what our advisors think and what we think about the possibility of perhaps putting a little bit in to the council so that we could take up some of our slack, and as much as we're losing some of the funds like the ash settlement state, that's over. So anyway, are there any questions on that fund? Yeah, please. Marilyn's going
to... Okay. Do we want to have a motion to accept Kathy's report?
So moved.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that we accept the report. All those in favor say aye.
Seconded.
Aye. And the Ellen...
All opposed?
Seconded. Who was the second?
Oh, sorry.
Who moved?
I seconded.
Mitch moved.
Several seconds.
Artists, let's say, seconded.
All right.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? And abstentions. Okay. Next.
The Ellen Murphy Fund, and that's its official name. She, when you read the trust, it was started out as the Ellen Murphy Trust, but it says hereafter be known as the Ellen Murphy Fund, and that's what it is. We currently have in our account $273,600, $8,000 in cash. About half of that are in CDs, so that we, they're short CDs, 60 to 90 months, so that, or days, so that when the interest goes up, we could move if we need to. We have mutual funds, they're doing well, and if they keep going like they have so far this year, first quarter, it looks like they're going to do about 10%. In 2006, you know what this fund is for? We help people who, women who are 50, over 50 years, who are in distress. And so far in 2006, and we're not very old in this year, we have expended $14,917. And it's a concern to us because while we've managed to keep people from losing their homes and from being put out on the street, and we've helped people from keeping having their electricity and their water turned off and other such things, it is still a concern to us that the money is going down. Ellen put no restrictions on it. She said never to deny anyone assistance because we thought the money was going too fast, but she also wanted us to try to raise it, and we haven't been very good at that so far. What we plan to try to do is to get on some talk shows and to do some letters to the editor. And if any of you would be interested in getting some letters out to the editor in your communities, we would be glad to furnish you with the information that you could use to try to get some in. But we think the talk shows may work. I was on a talk show last week. Unfortunately, it didn't go far and wide, but we did get some good information in about the council and the Ellen Murphy Fund. Our two gentlemen that work with us, our advisors, are Barry Crane and Tom Murphy. They're with UBS, used to be Payne Weber. They're a good combination. Larry Crane's a Scotchman, complete with accent. And Tom Murphy has no Irish accent. Let me tell you, he's been around for 30 years and he knows his business. So our account, they told me, in spite of all you spent, your account raised $1,000 this last quarter. So I hope that some of you can come in and help. And those trustees in that one are Abigail Vincent and Pat LaFrance and myself. And that's my report, Mr. President.
Okay. Is there a motion to accept the report?
I make a motion.
Jane made the motion. And who's there going to second it?
Second.
I'll take Lewis as a seconder.
Mr. President.
Yes.
I have a suggestion to Kathy as well as to our new editor of the Blind Californian. Perhaps maybe once a year, the guidelines for application to the Ellen Murphy Fund as well as the Newell Perry Fund should be published in the BC. I'm also thinking, and it just dawns on me, that we ought to do that perhaps for our Committee on Employment Assistance Loan Fund. Maybe putting all of those in one issue would be real helpful While I know, because I've worked personally with one of the successful applicants for the Ellen Murphy Fund, woman in Los Angeles, that and I know that we don't want to spend all of the money at one time, but we do want to outreach to as many folks as possible. So just a suggestion that perhaps we devote some space in the BC to the guidelines for Ellen Murphy, for Newell Perry, and for our Employment Assistance Fund.
Mr. President?
Artists?
Along with that, if you put those articles in, I think you ought to also make a plea for people that want to donate to those funds.
Yes, that's what we really need. Mr. President, I neglected to say one thing that I think might be of interest to our board. And that is, we have had referrals from some of our members, which we like a lot. But two of our greatest, what do you want to call them, people to direct people to us who require our services, we're getting help now from one person. I said, the one question says, where did you hear about this fund? And we have two staunch supporters in the Department of Social Services and Department of Rehabilitation. They know about us, and there are things they can't do that we can. And just recently, we collaborated with rehab on one lady, and we saved her. We kept her from being thrown out of her home.
Oh, good.
And we brought a problem that rehab wasn't aware that they had to them. They got an email they won't soon forget from one of the Ellen Murphy trustees, and we got some action.
That's a very good idea that Mitch has brought up, and in fact, I'll expand that to include the crisis and advocacy committees can put in a blurb each. They won't have to have strict guidelines per se, at least in the advocacy committee, but we should still publicize them all, and so I'll get together with Mike and we'll, you know, work on having the different committee chairs get us something for all of these funds and projects. So, okay. Any more discussion? All those in favor of the acceptance of Kathy's report, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Okay, the motion is carried. Okay, my last item, and then we'll go on to Jean's, is I want to briefly, this is an item which is I wish I didn't have to bring up, but we do have to bring them up from time to time. As you know, a chapter has to have 10 or more members, and we also have a constitutional provision that says any chapter not retaining at least 10 members for two consecutive years shall be deemed inactive and shall lose its privilege to vote at the council convention. At this time, the board of directors may consider the withdrawal of the chapter's charter. The Bay Area Council had dues in 04 paid in April of 04. They have not paid dues or met in at all in the majority of 04. They have not met in 05 or 06, nor have they paid dues. I don't like the idea of looking at the charter, and conceivably we could look at 2 years and say, okay, the whole thing doesn't start to 05, and we could conceivably wait till 07 and revisit this if we want to, although in reality 2 years have they're already delinquent for this year. So it's up to the organization whether we want to do anything or not under those constitutional provisions. It is optional. We can wait. It's permissive to the board anyway, so
Mr. President.
But no one likes to, you know, we've lost several chapters in the past few years, and we've gained some, and no one likes to lose one, and they had a really good group there, so.
Mr. Short, President?
Yes.
Badly as I feel, I think that we have a constitution and bylaws, and if we start not abiding by it, then it becomes, what do we ignore next? And I don't see how we could call a chapter that isn't a chapter, hasn't been a chapter. I think it's unfair to those chapters, most of ours and all of ours are, that do pay their dues and do come in and be of some assistance and care about this organization. Therefore, with great reluctance, I move that we withdraw the charter from the Bay Area Council, I think they called themselves last.
Second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. I don't know if anybody is wishes to speak on this issue. Anyone else?
Yeah, I have a question.
Well, hang on. Let me get a mic to you, Lewis.
Mr. President, do we know where their treasury is? It's also part and parcel of the...
We're not going to take that up at the moment. We don't have that information.
Okay.
Jeff, has there been any participation at any recent conventions by this chapter?
Mm-mm.
No.
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 Okay.
Here it comes back.
They all graduated and got jobs.
They haven't come, and if any of our chapters are in trouble, Mr. President, I think we all know they could come to us and ask for help.
Well, and
they haven't done that.
Yeah, and several of them are still members of either other chapters or members at large. So, there are the people that were participating are doing so in different ways, many of them. So, there's no, to state it a different way, Lewis, nobody has come to me and expressed a problem with taking this kind of an action. Let's put it that way. And I'm sure we'd probably be willing to recharter them if they could get their chapter back together and get that 10 members. We'd do it in a heartbeat. Okay, any other discussion?
Mr. President, I am correct that this was the Berkeley chapter, and then it became the Bay Area Council at the same group.
Yes, Kathy, you're correct. You are correct.
So they weren't participating even before they became the Bay Area Council.
Well, they were.
They were.
They were. Yeah, that's not fair to say. They had a delegate at the spring 2004 convention, and that's the last one they've had, I believe. As far as I can recollect. Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Okay, thank you very much. Gene, you're the last item prior to public comment.
Yeah, thank you, Kathy. Strategic planning. As probably some other people here have been going the last few years with their work, having to reassess their mission, the purpose of the entity they're working for, and setting goals, and sometimes 5 years, 10-year goals. I think we got a lot of efforts, very positive efforts going. And I think we need to foster those, and with funding and so forth. I think we reached a point that we're growing and trying to take on a lot of things, and I think we need to entertain the idea of working on a strategic plan, the board. My suggestion would be having a retreat, bringing in an outside facilitator to help us with this thing, so that who's totally objective and independent on this, and come up with looking at everything, seeing if our mission is still relevant, a vision where we're going, and goals, and maybe setting for the next 5 years. And I believe this would help with our fundraising, showing this, and that then we come up with this and bring it to the membership and get the endorsement of the membership on that. So I am proposing that we start working toward that and make a recommendation of that and see if I can get a second.
Gene, I would support that. I think we really do need to look at some long-term strategic planning, our goals and objectives, and also some long-term financial planning.
Okay, before we go on with this discussion, I need some clarification on the motion. If the motion is that we do this, that's one thing. If the motion is that we somehow create a plan to do this, i.e. looking at cost and all the others, that's another thing. One thing, I just have to set up the retreat and it's done. And the other thing is we get a subcommittee to start planning how we're going to work all this out. And so I need to know from Gene what your motion exactly is. I'm not clear yet.
My motion is the first step is getting a retreat, a subcommittee, as you were suggesting, to organize it and for us to get together, the board, and start looking at where we're going. See okay. where we are now and where do we want to go and how we're going to achieve that.
Okay. That's fine.
Mr. President?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked for clarification. When ACB embarked on a strategic planning process about 10 years ago, it ran well in excess of $10,000. It can be an expensive process. I'm not sure that I would classify a retreat as a strategic plan per se. It may be the first step in the process, and I'm okay with that. Although to get a trained facilitator still may cost us upwards of $500 to $1,000 for one day. We can probably find the funds to do that, but just bear in mind, folks, that if we go further down the road in this endeavor, it can be an expensive process. And the other problem, of course, is that one of the biggest criticisms post strategic plan in ACB is that a number of the recommendations weren't really followed up on. So there has to be a commitment if you're going to spend the money and develop a strategic plan to implement it, to do what we said we were going to do.
Mr. President.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm glad actually this subject has come up because, you know, I think Gene's idea is an excellent one in the sense that every organization needs to look at itself and needs to hash out issues from time to time to see if we're relevant, if not, if we can be made more relevant, to be more relevant to the constituency and so forth. But I'll tell you, I've been on a number of strategic plan. I've never been on a committee to develop the plan, but I've participated in many, and I have found exactly what Mitch raised. The idea of the inception is great, and everybody starts off with some tremendous ideas just to begin the process, but then it turns out to be very, very long, intensive, arduous work, not to mention the cost, and that's where people start to fall off. It's you know, the players change, the mission issues change, and if we do this, I think we should build in some component in this plan that guarantees some follow through, regardless of changing conditions and players involved.
Mr. President.
Okay, wait. I think Kathy was first, and then is it Jane? I can't tell. Artist, I can't tell.
Mr. President, I have always felt and do feel that we have some pretty good, straightforward plans. If we would carry out what's mandated in our Constitution, our bylaws, we would be well on the way to a plan. I have a concern, too, in getting an outside person, because it's been my experience when we brought outside people in to help you plan something with a group of concerned blind and visually impaired people, they really lack the knowledge of what we need to do and try to do, and they end up not being able to do it. And I think we've seen that over and over when you have people coming into centers for the blind who are not blind or visually impaired and don't want to listen to that, and
you can respond after Artis makes her comment.
I just really think that it's great to plan ahead. I think we're doing some of what we can now, but it's kind of plan ahead hard to do if you don't know where your money's going to come from, and we now are hiring someone to try to help us do that. So I have a real concern about undertaking things that we need to do in the future. We're not even doing what we should be doing now.
Okay. Artis and then Gene.
Well, I just want to make the comment that I have worked with different organizations and businesses on efforts of making plans for the future, et cetera. Businesses do pretty well at it because the people are paid to follow through and go for it. But when it comes to organizations, you're talking about volunteers. And trying to tell volunteers to follow through on plans and work forward to things, volunteers, it depends on their time. And so consequently, it's much harder to follow through with plans on a long-range plan with volunteers.
Okay, Gene.
I was talking about a person, a facilitator. That's all to facilitate, to provide so that there is, it's people can, it'd be totally, you'd have the opportunity, objectivity. There would be balance, the ensure that it's there. It also would allow our president to fully participate in the activity. It's not for them to direct us and, you know, decide, making decisions, but is actually giving, helping us get through the process. And I think it's just worth at least, it's, I agree, it is a hard, it is not the most exciting thing to do, but it is something to at least know whether that all our work and effort is going in the same direction and we're not possibly going counter to the other efforts, whatever we're doing. And I, at least, I think, let's investigate, take at least the first step and go from there. I think that's going to help with fundraising. If we have a clear idea of what our goals are and what particular programs that are most important, most relevant, then it will be easier to get some of the funding for that and targeting than a kind of a shotgun approach.
Is there anyone that hasn't talked before I give Mitch the mic? Yes, Lewis.
I agree with what has been said by Mitch in terms of if you put time, energy, and effort into a situation that's going to make the organization better, and there's no follow-through, then what you've wasted is a lot of time and a lot of money. And for this reason, I think that a subcommittee or a task force put together to think thoroughly through the process and the idea or the outline of bringing a strategic planning session to the organization would be worthwhile, because then you can look into the future, you can look at all of the bugs that have happened with other organizations, and the question that we have to ask ourselves, what makes us different? Will we do something that other organizations, I've seen 5-year plans that have gathered dust on the shelf, and people worked hard. But in the meantime, administrations change, people change, and all of a sudden somebody says, do you remember the 5-year plan? They're going to say that about the strategic plan. What happened to it? Whatever happened to this? So I think that a task force or a subcommittee to thoroughly think through and bring it to the board would be a step in the right direction.
Yeah, just to further clarify for you, Kathy, the facilitator, the individual brought in, does not impose their ideas on the process. They help guide the discussion, make sure we don't get off onto too many tangents, takes good notes, and allows the board to facilitate. And I'll only close with the old statement that if you don't really know where you're going, it doesn't really matter how you get there. And I think we're at a point where we need to reassess where we're going.
Mitch, I was remembering the old Calumet lady. Remember her?
Vaguely.
She came to the Calumet Corporation to help. She was our facilitator. She didn't know what we were doing, and I never did know what she was doing.
Well, we'll do better this time.
Yeah, Kathy, it is regardless of the merits of having a strategic plan, Artis's point can be a good one, as a matter of fact. But having gone through these, it is a different... It's not like the woman we had, and that may have been the one you're talking about, that was telling us how a board of directors should operate. That's not it at all. If it was, your point is absolutely... Totally valid. They're just guiding you in the way the process will work and the way you need to be thinking. Not in. They don't need to know a thing about. Nor do they try to know. That's for you to. And they are just helping your discussion along. That's all. It really is different.
Mr. Chair.
Okay, Rhonda.
Do I have a mic? I do have a mic. Okay. I do agree with Gene, and I think that it might be a good idea for us to start looking into a strategic plan. I know that the Blind Advisory Committee last year had to come up with a strategic plan for guidelines and everything for the Department of Rehab and what the BAC was going to do. I don't agree that we should have a subcommittee. I do believe that it should be the board. There's very intelligent and knowledgeable people on this board that represent a lot of the different committees. External factors have a great effect on what an organization does because things change. Things change every year. And I do believe, especially with fundraising and membership issues, that we do need to look into something new.
Rhonda, just let me explain the motion again, just to make sure there isn't a misunderstanding. The motion isn't, the subcommittee is not to do the process. The subcommittee is only to present a plan to the board as to how we will do it, how the retreat would work, where we'd get the money, when we would do it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that to clarify, that is my understanding of Gene's motion.
The original motion was to have a committee.
To have a committee, but the committee would only be to plan the strategic planning process, not to do the strategic planning.
Okay.
To plan the process.
That's clearly the board's mission.
Come back to the full board.
Okay. For approval. That's right. The board would have to approve any decision at that point in time to decide whether to go through and have the process, have the retreat, and whatever would go with it.
Right.
Okay. Any more comments? Okay, hearing none, I think we've clarified the motion. All those in favor of Gene's motion, say aye.
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 All opposed? Okay, abstentions. All right, the motion is passed. I do have one more update before we go to public comment, which I neglected to, and it really is just an informational update. As you know, our lease ends next March. And it has been deemed worth considering the possibility of moving to Sacramento or wherever. I appointed a committee a year ago with Mitch as chair. We haven't been active yet. I got a hold of a realtor who is willing to work for us. It won't cost anything. Who specializes in commercial leasing. We are going to meet this Sunday. Ed has already prepared some notes on some of the things that we may or may not need, so that we can start the discussion going. We will get our sort of information along to the realtor. We will obtain information back from the realtor, and at that point we'll come up with a recommendation as to whether we think it's good or bad or indifferent, and at some point we will come to the board with a view. We don't have any preset view on this matter. There's too much uncertainty in a lot of areas, but I think it is a very good idea for us to acquire information, and the only real good way to do it is to have our committee working in concert with a professional so that we sort of know where we stand on this. There's really not much more to convey at this point because I don't know anything more. So, any questions on that? Okay. Any last announcements by board members before we go to public comment? Okay, hearing none.
I have one question.
Yes.
I hope we're going to, I'm sure we will, but we want to send Gabe a sympathy card. That young man's had more than his share. I believe at our last convention, he lost his other grandfather and or near there. And I think we want to be sure, Mr. President, that you let him know.
Kathy, we certainly will.
And this as board I, really missed him, and we're
and
so
as
sorry.
I will also announce more thoroughly tomorrow, we will also be sending our condolences to Ron Smith on the recent death of his wife, Carol, whom many of us know. Yeah. And so I'll read an announcement on that tomorrow. At the general session, because I think it will be a bigger audience and more people will be able to obtain the information. So yes, we will certainly do that. Okay, hearing no more, how are we going to work with the mic out there, Ed or Marilyn or whatever? Okay. All right, so we already have one commenter ready and waiting. One of our octogenarians is going to
regale
us. You
don't have to say that, Jack. Anyway, some years ago at the CTEVH convention, we got a very interesting kind of badge to wear, for, you know, a place to put our name tag and so forth. And it has two little zippers in the back so that you can put your room key in there and maybe a couple dollars for a drink or lunch or something, so you don't have to carry a purse if you don't want to. And it's very safe because it's on you all the time, and the thing goes around your neck, and the zippers are pretty tight, so the key doesn't fall out and all. So all the years that I was wearing this thing, Jill was saying, I wish I could find one of those things. That's really a handy little thing. I wore it to the ACB and the CCB conventions for about 4 years. Finally, it got to look so horrible, I'd spilled a few things on it, and it got kind of cracked with the plastic drying out and so forth. So we began to talk in the Braille Revival League about things we could do that would save some money, and I passed my tired little badge around. Everybody thought, gee, that was really a keen thing. And Jill knew someone who can take an item like that and figure out how to make it. And she sent it down, and they made an exact copy of this thing. We now have it to sell for the Braille Revival League for $5. It really is one of the handiest things I've ever had. And so I want to tell you that we had hoped to get it on the connection, and Gabe had to go out of town, and somehow that got lost. So we're having to advertise it this way, and I hope that there are an awful lot of people not here now, but I hope maybe at the meetings that you're at tomorrow, you'll ask people to go and find the booth in the exhibit room where we're selling them.
How much do they sell?
Thank you, Wynn.
Yeah.
$5 each.
That's great. And I want to also thank, and I forgot to do this, thank everyone, Wynn, Richard Rueda, the Orange County chapter, Andrea Pitsenbarger, and Coletta, who couldn't be here today because of back problems, unfortunately, who couldn't be at the convention, for their work at CTEVH, for volunteering, for manning our booth. You know, we need to have a presence there. We're going to continue to do that. And they really pitched in and did a job, and I want to thank everybody who helped out there.
Hi, this is Audrey Hebner, and I have a suggestion. Before you do a strategic plan, let's take Kathy's advice and look at what we already have that we've not done. I think it would do us all, myself included, and I've been around here a long time, to go back and look and see what we have not done that's already set out there for us. And I'd like us to try to figure out how we can solve what I consider a problem of sending a mixed message when we say we can do and we can work and we are employable, give us a chance. And then the next time they see us, we're saying, we're raising funds for the blind organizations to do blah, blah. We have to make these things compatible, I think. Well, so let's study what has gone before we start a totally new plan.
Okay, thank you. Next commenter.
How'd you know?
I just told Audrey it sounded like she was a Republican. she pleads guilty to that, apparently. This is Roger, and I have a couple of comments. One is on the strategic plan thing. I watched the ACB go through that. Bernice was on the committee, and I can't tell any difference in, well, I guess maybe a couple. I think they decided that they should have an executive director instead of a Washington representative and so on. But I really think that a lot of this stuff is, people always talk to me about psychobabble. I think this is orgobabble or corpobabble. Our local agency for the blind in Palo Alto just underwent a branding study, whatever the hell that is. And the upshot of it was they changed their name from the Peninsula Center for the Blind and Visually Impaired to the Vista Center for the Blind and Visually Impaired. That doesn't change the services at all, as near as I can tell. And they also have some pillars of whatever they, I can't remember, but empowerment and yada, yada, yada. And I mean, come on. And I remember that lady who tried to tell us how organizations are supposed to work, too. The other thing I wanted to mention is that with regard to the convention planning, it seems to me that, that the conventions that are, the hotels that are in desirable places are the ones that are most expensive, and that sort of stands to reason, I guess, from all you Republicans out there, free enterprise economy and all that stuff. And we may have to look at some ways of getting around that. And I just, in terms of the Fremont Marriott, the Fremont Marriott issue, yes, indeed, it's out of the way, but that's why we got it. That's why they gave us a good offer, I think. And not only do you have to drive through it to it, but it's across the street from an automobile manufacturing plant, which I think is kind of interesting. But I did want you to know that we talked to Santa Clara County's paratransit system, and they said that they would. That if we were to go there, they would make it happen that people could use their paratransit system, even though it's outside Santa Clara County. So all I'm saying, I'm not questioning the vote that was taken. I'm just saying that for future years, I think we're going to have to think out of the box a little more. We're going to, if we go to, if you think it's hard to get to Fremont, try going to Bakersfield or something. I mean, to do things that we haven't done, we have to do things that we haven't done.
Okay. Next, yes, Deck. I was going to say that, but didn't. Next comment.
Right here. Hi. I'm turned on by the jacket. When can I put it in order to get one?
Hello. You pay Rhonda right now, and she'll make sure you get your jacket when the time comes.
Yeah. It'll be the full.
What size do you want?
Extra large.
Okay, next comment.
Get out of here.
That's it? Okay. Well, I want to thank all of you for coming. I hope that the rest of your convention is enjoyable. Ann, do you want to announce hospitality? The room number and all of that? Penthouse Suite, 12th floor, hospitality. Be there or be square.